First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective. Chapter 2, God's Kingdom Economy. As sons of God, we have been delivered out of the control of the dominion of darkness and transferred or called into the kingdom of His dear Son. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Living by kingdom financial principles. Whilst we are in the world, we do not operate by its value systems. We are to subscribe to the value systems and operating dynamics of the kingdom of God, and not to be conformed to this world. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our most realistic and nearest frame of reference for functioning in life must be that of the kingdom of God and not the system of this present world or age. The kingdom of God refers to God's right to rule, govern, or regulate every aspect of our entire lives according to righteous principles contained and expressed in and through His Word. Sons of God have entered God's kingdom and live by its principles and dictates. This kingdom is an all-pervasive superimposition of God's nature and will upon every expression of life, sector, or domain on planet Earth and the entire created, unseen, heavenly domain. The present world system is often referred to as Babylon. Babylon represents the worldly, political, economic, and religious systems of government that are in direct opposition and contradiction to the spiritual operating systems of God's kingdom. The term Babylon literally means confusion by mixing, as does the root Babel, of which the native etymology is Babil, meaning the gate of God. While Babel has the potential to be an avenue through which God could find access, it has become the venue where Satan has successfully brought confusion and misunderstanding regarding kingdom principles and ways. Thus, it has become a gate for demonic spirits. The principles by which Satan regulates the current world system is a figurative gate or portal granting him access to influence and thus control human behavior. For example, pride, carnal ambition, and greed are satanic principles that drive men to fulfill their desires at any cost, even at the cost of violating God's principles. Financial principles regulating and driving Babylon are for the most part diametrically opposed to that of the kingdom of God. We, the church, must firmly resolve to be governed by the constitution of God's kingdom, which is the Word of God, and not to be conditioned and influenced by inherited philosophical, humanistic, cultural, or even errant theological positions, especially regarding issues relative to finance. The word kingdom expresses God's sovereign rule and reign. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom in that it was pre-existent and is eternal. The mission of the church presently is to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Let your kingdom come is our cry. This determines our ethic, ethos, motivation, and is the foundation of all our activities. The Church of God should be actively working towards the restoration of God's governance in the earth until all the kingdoms of the earth become the kingdom of our Lord. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Finances and the financial world represent a significant kingdom that needs to be brought under the direct control and influence of the kingdom of God. The name Babylon is also transliterated as gates for demonic spirits, the portal through which demonic spirits operate in the earth through human agencies. Similarly, the church is God's gate of heaven, not to heaven, and is the agency through which his kingdom will become established in the earth. Genesis chapter 28, verse 17 to 19. Babylon's economy operates by certain norms, standards, values, ethics, and principles. God's kingdom operates by a different set of principles that are diametrically opposite and opposed to that of the world. Greed, avarice, cupidity, covetousness, materialism, excessive indebtedness, unbridled selfish expenditure, and unacceptably high levels of income inequality are some of the features of the world economy that are anti-kingdom. Subscribing to God's principles for economic ascendancy. When viewed from the state of the unrenewed mind, God's financial principles, intended to position us upon a path of financial blessings, do not make rational sense. His ways are far above the ways of man. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8 and 9. At a wealth and business seminar, Dr. Elijah Morgan, an economist and servant of God, highlighted the following interesting points. The nation of Israel, an Old Testament type of the church, Acts 7:38, was required to function economically by principles which God had set in place, principles which no other nation observed, and principles which, when strictly observed, would be key in ensuring that they, as a nation, would be far more financially blessed and provided for than surrounding nations. It seems, from a carnal human point of view, that God actually did everything in his power to keep the nation poorer than their neighbors. For example, whereas other nations worked 7 days a week, Israel was only required to work for six. They were also required to work for six out of every 7 years, and also not work in the 50th year. In harvesting of their crops, they had to deliberately leave behind some corn, barley, and wheat for the widows, the orphans, and foreigners. They could only own a slave for 7 years, after which he was to be given a choice as to whether he wanted to be released. In every 7th year and 50th year, all debt was to be cancelled. Besides all this, they were instructed to give to the Lord the first fruits and the firstborn of their crops and livestock. Thereafter, 10% of all income harvest, and still willingly offer a range of offerings in specific seasons or when a call was made. In the natural, Israel was already severely disadvantaged by these divine regulations as compared to other nations which had no such laws. Yet, the promise of God to them was that he himself would personally see to it that they would never lack, but be economically sustained perpetually. Economic buoyancy and ascendancy were to be their portion. God's ways are truly above the ways of man. If only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. God wanted to distinguish his people from the rest of the peoples of the earth through their observance of his principles. The same holds true for us today. Now it shall be that if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to observe all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Take the time to read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28. Unquestioning obedience to all of God's commands, all of them, and not just those in reference to finances, harvest, was the key to Israel's success. The same is true for us today. Every son of God must bring his or her finances in line with God's kingdom requirements, as well as simultaneously bring all other aspects of our lives in compliance with his righteous principles as communicated through his word. Financial obedience does not displace the need for obedience in other areas of our lives. Likewise, obedience in other areas of life does not exempt us from financial obedience. See Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Obedience in one area does not substitute for nor excuse disobedience in another. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, yet disrespect justice, the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Financial victory and sonship. Financial compliance to God's expectations is an issue that is a key aspect of mature spiritual and divine sonship. The rich young ruler backed away from sonship because Jesus wanted lordship over his finances. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31. When the church globally aligns its finances with the Word of God, then we will be able to access our inheritance fully. Money and the establishment of covenant. The intention of God to transfer massive amounts of wealth to the church is a vital necessity to provide acceleration to the establishment of the kingdom of God in all the earth. Money and the establishment of God's kingdom, or the complete fulfillment of covenant, are linked. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant that He swore to your fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. If money is intended for God's covenant, what is the covenant? God's covenant is to raise up a people in His image and likeness who will accurately represent Him and enforce His authority in all domains of the earth. God's covenant is the empowering of His people for the absolute release of the kingdom in the affairs of man. His glory or nature will cover the whole earth. God's covenant involves a people that are aligned to Him and a world that must be redemptively impacted, influencing the entire course of life on the planet. Anderson Williams at a seminar on kingdom business. Wealth is meaningless if it is not linked to God's eternal purposes for the earth. In the kingdom of God, the accumulation of wealth is not for the purpose of living luxuriously in a self-indulgent or carnal manner, but to fuel and to facilitate the expansion of His kingdom in the earth. You will assuredly be blessed personally, and your life will be enriched. But there is a higher purpose for wealth, that being the expansion of the kingdom of God throughout the earth. Joseph used his wealth and authority, which his position of prominence afforded him, to facilitate the preservation of his brothers, in whom the seed of God's purposes for the nation of Israel and the church was embedded, and to also fuel prophetic purposes vested within his father Jacob. Both his power and financial influence would be meaningless if he had not connected it to the divine will encapsulated within his spiritual father and brothers. The same holds true for us today. Spiritual laws operate in the realm of spirit and are accessed through obedience in the natural realm. Clive Pick. A young boy gave Jesus his 2 fish and 5 loaves in the natural and ignited a process of miraculous increase and distribution, made possible by divine power in the spirit realm. If you break a natural law, you will pay a penalty. Similarly, if you break a spiritual law or principle, you prevent God's blessing from coming to you because of disobedience. The money problem in the church today is essentially an obedience problem. Clive Pick. To secure our inheritance in the kingdom, we need mature sons of God to demonstrate a lifestyle of effective productivity, stewardship, giving, and distribution of finances. Giving is not something you try. You must live it. Every kingdom has a set of financial laws by which it functions. Because you and I have been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Colossians 1:13, we now operate by the principles and precepts of Christ, our King, who exerts control and authority in this domain. A lifestyle of financial breakthrough. Financial breakthrough is a process rather than an event. It is the result of a lifestyle of consistent obedience to God's financial principles. Economic blessing is the reward of those who have chosen to walk the path of financial obedience. God is not haphazard nor random in his responses or interactions with us. He is a meticulous planner and leaves nothing to chance or coincidence. God responds positively to our financial obedience, but his hand of blessing is constrained by our financial disobedience. When we limit ourselves in financial obedience, we limit God in financially blessing us. The sooner we come to the place of financial obedience, the sooner we will know financial breakthrough. God only responds to what we do, not to what we intend to do. The faithful steward who, through active and wise utilization of the 5 talents given to him, was commended for what was done, not for what was thought, planned, or intended. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 7:14 encapsulates this. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, New King James Version. Note the cause and effect suggested by the words, "If my people will," on the one hand, and the divine response on the other, namely, "then I will." God is pleased and activated by our financial obedience. To raise funds takes human perspiration and planning. To release wealth involves spiritual authority, born out of consistent financial obedience. Clive Pick. Babylon operates by buying and selling, whereas the kingdom of God operates by giving and receiving. When the global church comes to a place of financial obedience and maturity, then we will see a financial reformation in which we will migrate from raising funds to releasing wealth. This will initiate the accumulation of unparalleled volumes of finances utilized to facilitate kingdom advancements like it was in King Hezekiah's day. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Present financial behavior affects prophetic destiny. The scriptures contain many examples of how so many people's spiritual journey and destiny in God were affected by how they handled their money, particularly in respect to the matter of giving. Financial attitudes affect spiritual destiny significantly. Financial and fiscal behavior impacts your future, either negatively or positively. Negative examples exist in the persons of Cain, Achan, Gehazi, King Saul, Tobiah, the nation of Israel in times of spiritual slump, Judas, the rich young ruler, Ananias and Sapphira, etc. Positive examples include Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abel, Joseph, the widow at Zarephath, the Shunammite woman, David, Israel as a nation in times of spiritual reformation, Ruth, Josiah, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Nehemiah, Ezra, Shebna, Jesus Christ, the wise men from the east who came to see Jesus, the woman who anointed Jesus with spikenard perfume, Joseph of Arimathea, Barnabas, Lydia, Onesophorus, and Epaphroditus, the Philippian church, the Macedonian church, etc. The positive examples listed above functioned by kingdom economic principles and were not just well taken care of materially, but proceeded with rapid acceleration towards climaxing the will of God for their lives. Financial rectitude and accuracy in the kingdom of God are not simply about giving per se. It concerns perfecting your obedience as you journey towards absolute maturity in God, and has a huge impact on the degree to which you will reach fullness in executing the purposes of God attendant with your life. The negative examples above prove that no matter how grand and strategic your calling and functional placement in God is, if you show disesteem for His financial principles, you will quickly lose your privileged position and be relegated to the fringes of His global purposes, or worst still, totally lose your kingdom citizenship and relationship with God. Many of these examples are presented as case studies in this writing, and some will be covered in subsequent writings in this series. Our present patterns of giving, work ethic, creative and industrious attempts at production for wealth creation, stewardship, management, and administration of personal and corporate resources unselfish distribution to the poor and to those in need, etc., all need to come under the forensic examination of the Holy Spirit and to be realigned to greater accuracy for greater effect. Personal financial giving is the first and most elementary expression of financial obedience. The scriptures offer many guiding principles for this domain of our financial lives. This specific writing deals primarily with first fruits giving. As you, the reader, continue to read and study this writing, I trust you would receive the requisite grace to obey God's financial principles in His kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this world. Reflect. Point one, what is the kingdom of God? Number two, what is the symbolic meaning of Babylon? And is it well disposed towards God's kingdom? Point three, as God's son in God's kingdom, does God have rule over your finances? Point four, do you understand that God's kingdom financial principles are not burdensome, but designed to activate and sustain a range of blessings in your life? Point five, what is the interconnectivity between wealth and the establishment of God's covenant? Point six, do you see the link between your financial behavior and the potential to fulfill personal spiritual destiny and calling?